A chance to go into the hotline now to talk a little Florida State ACC. Ira Schoffel, managing editor of warchant.com, joining us. It's been a while, Ira. Welcome back. And I know before we know it, we'll be talking about week one of the college football season.
Yeah, you're right. Glad to be back, and I'm definitely looking forward to that.
I have to bring up, before we get into football chat, want to get your thoughts. First, from the golf world, great news over the weekend. Former Florida State golfer Brooks Koepka back-to-back as far as U.S. Open titles. But then yesterday, we get the sad news with the passing of Hubert Green, a native of Birmingham, a Florida State golfer, you know, a Hall of Fame golfer as well, and just really sad. Bad news with that yesterday.
Yeah, and you know, Hubert Green wasn't living in the Tallahassee area in his later years, but from what I understand, he was always a friend of the program. Was very gracious with Trey Jones, the golf coach, who's the head golf coach at Florida State now. And yeah, it was just kind of a wide range of emotions in a couple of days. You know, you had going into the final day, FSU had Brooks Koepka and also Daniel Berger in the final. They were all tied for the lead. Two former FSU golfers in the top four of the U.S. Open. Of course, Koepka ends up winning it, and then a couple of days later, it gets some sad news. But you know, obviously, Florida State's golf program has had some success with guys on the tour. But Brooks Koepka seems like he may really have an unbelievable career ahead of him.
I think you're exactly right as far as that's concerned. You know, last hour I was talking about the College Baseball World Series. I'd be remiss if we didn't bring up the fact that the Florida State softball team, national champs for 2018.
Yeah, that was really a neat run for that team, not just because they won it all. Obviously, that's a huge deal and, you know, great accomplishment for their program, but also, you know, they really captured, you know, kind of the imagination of the fan base, really unlike anything I've seen at FSU. And I've been covering FSU for a long time in terms of a sport other than the big three, you know, to have that success and the fan base just really rally around them was kind of neat. I think it was, you know, part of it was timing, you know, with FSU baseball not doing well in the postseason. That kind of got everybody's attention on softball. And then the way they won their games and the fact that so many of them were on ESPN or ESPN2 so people could watch them all in primetime, really was kind of a perfect storm. And so they people are still talking about that softball team, which, you know, traditionally softball is not one of those sports that gets a lot of attention. So it's been really neat to see that.
And before, and one more, since we brought up baseball as well, the news this week that Mike Martin, that 2019, that's going to be it, his final year, 40 years. And it's just an incredible resume, but one thing is missing, a national championship. And, you know, I've talked to college baseball coaches out there, and they feel so highly about Mike Martin that if their team can't win a national title, they want Mike Martin to get one. Well, he'll have one more opportunity that will come up next year.
Yeah, and you know, this year would have been a year that you thought going into the season, we thought Florida State might have a chance to finally give him that ring. And then they just kind of had one thing after another. On the opening day, the season opener, their ace starting pitcher, Tyler Holton, went down with Tommy John, an elbow injury, needed Tommy John surgery and missed the season. They had a few other really key injuries that kind of hurt them, and they still won the ACC, and they still, you know, earned a top eight national seed, but then, you know, really kind of fell apart in the postseason, went 0-2 in their home regional. And that was, you know, just a really, you know, just a real damper on your season. And so a lot of people were wondering what that meant for Mike Martin, the fact that he's been here so long and been so successful. This was the year where he clinched the record for most wins in college baseball history, which is a great accomplishment. But like you said, some people feel like, you know, maybe the program is never going to get there. They're never going to win that title. And so he'll get one more go at it, and I'm sure a lot of people will be cheering for him. And then we'll see what FSU baseball looks like after Mike Martin.
Ira Schoffel joining us. Willie Taggart, when he takes over as far as in week one of the college football season, he will only be the third Florida State head coach for football since 1976.
Yeah, it's really amazing. And, you know, and he's very much, in some ways, I think some people feel like he's a little bit more like Bobby Bowden than he is like Jimbo Fisher. You know, Bobby Bowden obviously was a great talker, was a guy that could win over any room, you know, just real smooth and always had funny lines, and people just really liked him and gravitated towards him. Jimbo Fisher was more of the, you know, kind of the current era of coaches from the Nick Saban coaching tree, a little bit more kind of, you know, I wouldn't say stodgy, but a little bit more, you know, focused on the process and all of that. And Willie Taggart seems like he's a little bit more like Coach Bowden, a little bit more carefree. He promises to run a more up-tempo offense, not as dependent on play calling and sophistication as it is, you know, getting great players and getting them to play hard. That's kind of the approach, and let them have fun. And we'll see what kind of success he has. But people are excited about him. I think people are really pulling for him. But at the end of the day, you know, what he does on the field is going to determine how people really feel about him in the long term.
Well, here's the thing, too. If you look at the schedule now, it starts off with a very tough game as Florida State hosts Virginia Tech. It's going to be on Labor Day night from Doak Campbell Stadium in Tallahassee. But that September schedule, Virginia Tech, Samford out of Birmingham, Syracuse, Northern Illinois, and Louisville, it really sets up nicely for Florida State to get their feet wet, get everybody on the same page, and then moving into the second portion of their schedule.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, as long as that first game goes okay.
Right.
You know, if they win that game, and, you know, look, I mean, you know, Virginia Tech's, you know, Justin Fuente is doing a good job there. That's a very good program. He's got a head start because he's been there a little bit longer than Willie Taggart. But, you know, the game will be at home. It'll be a Monday night. They're going to retire Peter Warrick's jersey before the game. It's going to be a really good atmosphere. If Florida State wins that game, then I think you're right. I think they kind of ride that momentum through that first four or five games and kind of carry that into the second half of the season and maybe start believing in themselves in a way that they certainly didn't last year. But, you know, if things go poorly in that first game, then you're going to have some, you know, you'll have some players wondering, you know, are we being put in the right position? Is this the right fit? And there'll be some self-doubt. Now, they should still win those other games, but it just won't be the same kind of confidence they would have if they were really, 4-5-0 to start the year.
Well, they're going to need that confidence because once the schedule turns into October, the three games include matchups against the Hurricanes on the road, and then the last Saturday of October, Clemson comes to town.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, you know, I don't think any, you know, even the most diehard FSU fans understand that, you know, FSU right now as a program is behind Clemson. You know, that up until a few years ago, you know, FSU fans thought every time they played Clemson, they were the better team, even if they didn't win it. Right now, I think everybody realizes Clemson's got a head start, and, you know, that's going to be a tough game no matter where it's played. Fortunately for FSU, it's at home, but it's going to be a tough game. And then Miami, you know, certainly Mark Richt, what he's done there so far, and the fact that it's down there, and the Miami finally broke their streak against Florida State last year, so they should have some more confidence going into that game. That's going to be a really tough stretch. You know, I don't think most FSU fans aren't expecting this team to go 11-1 or even 10-2 maybe. But, you know, if they can win, if they could split some of those big games, that would be big. You just don't want to go maybe 8-4 where you lost really all those big games, the Notre Dame game on the road, the Miami game, the Clemson game, and Virginia Tech, or you know, Florida. You got to win at least a couple of those to kind of keep people you know, feeling good about the direction of the program.
Well, it doesn't even end as far as a head coach, because a lot of love for both the new offensive and defensive coordinators for Florida State as well, and Walt Bell and Harlan Barnett.
Yeah, I mean, people are very excited about Harlan Barnett. You know, what he did at Michigan State, he wasn't the sole defensive coordinator. They had co-defensive coordinators there, but anybody that's seen the way Michigan State has played defense over the last decade or so, you know, has to feel good about that coming into their program. They're very physical. They're very aggressive. And FSU, since that national championship season in 2013, the defense has not been very good. It has not produce a lot of big plays. It's kind of been a little bit passive. And Harlan Barnett promises to be a lot more attacking, which people are very excited about. And then offensively, Walt Bell, the big question is going to be, you know, how much of this offense looks like Walt Bell's and how much of it looks like Willie Taggart. Willie Taggart's still going to call the plays. He's going to have Walt Bell kind of give him input. But You know, Walt Bell was known for a lot of trick plays at Maryland. He was, I wouldn't say he threw caution to the wind, but he definitely threw out a lot of trick plays and did a lot of gadgets. Willie Taggart's done some of that. It'll be interesting to see how they mesh those two approaches this season.
All right, when you think about the Florida State Seminoles, to me, the key weapon is in the backfield, but it's at running back, Cam Akers. I mean, look, it's tough to forget Dalvin Cook, but Cam's pretty special himself as well.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely going to be the strength of the team, that running back position. And, you know, if you look at Willie Taggart, what he's done the last few years at USF and then at Oregon – is they've been among the, you know, nation's leader in rushing attempts and rushing yards. He really likes to run the football. He'll do it out of a lot of spread formations, but he really likes to run it. And FSU, that's who sets up well for FSU because, you know, that's where most of their talent is at running back. You got Cam Akers, who had 1,000 yards as a freshman, and you got Jacquez Patrick, who has averaged, you know, about 5 yards a carry throughout his career. Then you've got some young guys, Kalen Laybourne, who was the star of the spring game, a former five-star prospect out of Virginia. So he's very, very talented. And, you know, one of the things Willie Taggart has talked a lot about during his spring booster tour is, you know, don't be surprised to see three or four of those running backs on the field together. You know, sometimes they'll be split out as slot receivers. A lot of times, you know, they don't have a fullback, so you almost always have two tailbacks in the game together. And then, you know, he wants to get those guys the ball. There's definitely more talent at running back than any other position on offense. So I think you'll see those running backs get the ball in different ways all season.
You know, the fact that this team went through so much adversity last year, losing DeAndre Francois there late in that Alabama game, and then having to wait 3 weeks to play their next contest due to the, you know, the hurricane and then an off week, et cetera. But the way they rallied at the end of the year just to get bowl eligible, winning their last three and then winning their bowl game, does that have any carryover effect at all, especially with the guys that are returning from last year's team?
I think there's some, yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, that was kind of a nice kickstart to the Willie Taggart era because what you saw when Odell Higgins, the longtime defensive tackles coach, who now has stayed on the staff, the one assistant coach who has stayed with Willie Taggart, is, you know, he took over as the interim head coach. And what he did during those few weeks was really just kind of get the team to start liking each other again and kind of put the past behind them and really focus on each other and try to have some fun. And you saw that in those games. You certainly saw it in the bowl game. I thought that was the most energy and passion that we'd seen Florida State play with really in a couple seasons. And now it was against Southern Miss. It wasn't against a huge opponent, but still just the fact that they played hard, they played fun, they had fun, they played together. I think that was a good jumping off point for Willie Taggart because those are a lot of things he preaches. He doesn't pretend to tell anybody that he's going to out-scheme any other coach or come up with any systems that nobody's ever seen before. He really wants his guys to play hard and have fun, and that was kind of what we saw at the end of last season.
Ira Chaffell joining us, managing editor with WarChant.com. With regards to quarterback, where are we as far as quarterback for Florida State this year?
I mean, it's a great question. I don't know if we'll have a definitive answer until preseason camp, but you know, I think everybody kind of has their own feelings. If you talk to 10 people, you might get, you know, 50-50 responses. DeAndre Francois was the guy 2 years ago and was supposed to be the guy last year before he had his knee injury. And then James Blackman came in last year as a true freshman and played, you know, pretty well for a true freshman. I think he had a lot asked of him. He didn't always play well. He had a lot of turnovers. But towards the end of the season, you started to see him play with a little bit more confidence and show a little bit more of his talent. I think he had 4 touchdown passes in the bowl game. So he kind of found himself late in the year, and they had a good battle in the spring. I think if DeAndre Francois was totally healthy, you know, he's still coming back from that knee injury. If he was, the knee injury he had, if he was totally torn patellar tendon, he had, if he was totally healthy and if he didn't have any off the field concerns, you know, I think he'd probably be the guy. But he does have those issues. He's still not 100% healthy. They think he'll be cleared by camp. And then he has had a couple of issues in the offseason. He had last year he had the big kind of off-the-field blow-up and he didn't come to a game while he was rehabbing. He just didn't show up for a home game.
Right.
And then he, you know, there was an investigation into possible marijuana possession or dealing at his house, and those charges end up getting reduced or dropped. But you know, it was another kind of blemish. And I think they want to see how he handles the rest of the offseason. But I think Francois, if he takes care of all that, I think he'll be the guy. But if he has any other issues, then certainly Blackman will be ready to step in.
Do you feel like the fan base for the – and it's tough to obviously put everything in a as a whole here when you look at the fan base, but did you feel like Jimbo Fisher wore out his welcome?
Yeah, I mean, it really happened quickly. You know, I think, you know, you win a national title, and that's going to carry for a long time, and it did. And, you know, so even though, you know, 2014, that team didn't play as well as you would have thought. I mean, they returned so much on defense, and they did not play well defensively. You had Jameis Winston. He had a ton of turnovers. They won all their games until the playoff, but they were always having to kind of dig out of holes.
Right.
They just never played. They were never sharp. But at the time, you know, it's coming off a national championship, and everybody's okay with that. And then 2015, you're breaking a new quarterback, and 2016, you're playing a redshirt freshman quarterback. So people kind of, you know, even though the success wasn't what you wanted, people were still kind of giving Jimbo the benefit of the doubt. But then this past season, the way they played, getting beat 35-3 to Boston College, then the answers he would give at press conferences where he felt like the media was being too harsh when they were just asking, you know, a lot of times they were just asking questions about why his team was playing so poorly. Fans started getting frustrated during last season, and then obviously the way things played out at the end with him taking Texas A&M job when, you know, I think if you're a Florida State fan, you feel like that should never happen. Your head coach should not be leaving for a school like Texas A&M. No offense to them as a institution, but just their history of football success. So, you know, I think people really frustrated and ready for him to move on at that point. But, you know, at the end of the day, he did have a lot of success. He did follow a legend and produce a lot of wins. And most people that follow legends don't have that much success. So it'll be interesting to see how he's judged, how history judges him years down the road. But right now, yeah, fans are not too upset that he's gone.
All right, let's just talk about, you know, best-case scenario for Florida State. I go back to if you get off to the good start against Virginia Tech, and by the way, Florida State favored by 6 or 6.5 in that opening night game on Labor Day night against Virginia Tech at home. But if you go into the month of October 5-0, and the fact that Clemson is coming to Tallahassee at the end of the month, if he gets everybody on the same page, and look, there's obviously, when you think about Florida State and the way Florida State has recruited in recent years, there's talent as part of this roster. They're good enough to win titles.
Yeah, I think they are. I mean, there's a couple of big question marks. You know, I think the offensive line has to be a lot better than it's been. I do think they'll be helped out by the scheme. I think Willie Taggart's scheme is not going to ask them to do as many things and to be able to protect as long. You know, Jimbo Fisher a lot of times has his quarterbacks, you know, they might have to go through 4 or 5 reads on a play that, you know, takes a few seconds, whereas Willie Taggart's going to want them to get rid of the ball quickly and move on, and that doesn't expose the offensive line as much as maybe the Jimbo system did. And then, you know, I think that, you know, there's some potential there, some guys that haven't played before that will have a chance to play this year. We'll see what kind of talent they have. And then also, you know, I think defensively they're a little thin at defensive end, and that's a position where, you know, they've got some good top line talent. I mean, I think a guy like Joshua Kindo and Brian Burns, who likely will be the starters, are very talented defensive ends, but they don't have a lot of depth at that position. So if anything went wrong there, that could be a problem. But no, I agree with you. And the other thing, you know, we've seen it so many times when a coach comes in or a coaching staff, you have change, and the kids buy in, and they believe, and you just look at the emotions for that Miami team last year, the way they played for Mark Richt compared to maybe the way they were playing for Al Golden. You look at, you know, and the same coaching staff involved at Georgia where Mark Richt was before. Kirby Smart certainly has breathed new life into that program, and you see it a lot of times in that first or second year where the kids really buy in, and they believe in themselves, and they believe in each other, and you see their success. I think Florida State could be poised for that kind of excitement through a change. But again, at the end of the day, if it doesn't go well early, sometimes it can go the other way because kids start asking questions.
Well, you brought up defensive end. To me, that's going to be the key, because to me, I think the secondary is strong for Florida State. I think that the front is for the FSU defense is strong. If the linebackers can grow up, certainly can bridge the gap, because we are talking about two of the best units, not just inside the conference, but also they would rank highly as far as nationally as well.
Yeah, I mean, they certainly can. And, you know, and I think, you know, again, Harlan Barnett, I think, is going to do some different things defensively to put pressure on offenses that might help as well. You know, Charles Kelly, who had been the defensive coordinator the last few years, was a little bit more read and react. He had the defensive linemen, you know, not to get too inside football, but, you know, like playing two-gap defense where they didn't necessarily just penetrate. They a lot of times had to read what the offense was doing, and that kind of took off their aggression. The players felt so anyway, and Harlan Barnett's going to be much more aggressive, much more attacking, and sometimes that can mask problems that you have. You know, you don't have to be perfect if you can force the other team into mistakes. So I think that's going to be their approach. It might be a little bit feast and famine, but I think they want to create some big plays. That's something they've really been lacking on defense.
One thing I remember is the fact that Clemson was so much better than Florida State last year, right? But their Florida State was less than 7 minutes to go inside Clemson territory with the opportunity there to take care of business. Unfortunately, it didn't go the Seminoles' way, because they were trailing by a field goal, and all they had to do was run some time, going for the gusto on one play, and turned out to be a turnover, and that's when Clemson put the game away. So they come to Tallahassee this year, so we'll see how that all plays out. All right, before we let you go, remind the listeners, too, for if they want to keep up with Florida State, best way for them to do so.
I appreciate it. Yeah, our website is warchant.com. We're part of the Rivals Network. Some of our content is premium, where you have to be a subscriber, but a lot of it is free, and you also can get a free 30-day trial if you type in a code warchant30. When you sign up. So, yeah, we'd love to have people check it out and see what we're doing, especially as football season starts cranking up here with camp in about a month or so away.
All right, thank you. Have a great rest of the week, and Golden Owls to you.
Take care. Thanks a lot.
All right, buddy. Thank you.